We're finally here, Tyson. It's Championship Sunday. We got two games, just as everybody predicted, Chiefs, Ravens, and Lions, 49ers. It's going to be a pretty interesting one. I'm pretty excited for Detroit and just the state of Michigan. It's been a big couple of months for them.
Yeah, both of these games, these teams are playing each other for the first time this season, so that kind of makes things a little bit more interesting. Let's do it. What's up, guys? Welcome to the Edge DFS. My name is Tyson Smith, joined by Ellie Hernandez. Ellie, I was a little under the weather last week. We didn't really get to, I think we had like four shows planned, and I was just so dog shit sick that I couldn't do it. We did end up doing one show for the members, but we're back here, man. Championship Sunday, two gamer on DraftKings, a lot of big contests. We don't really have a lot of football left, man, as far as NFL goes. Obviously, we got UFL coming up in a few months. But hey, this is it, man. We're almost there. How you doing, Ellie? What's going on with you?
Doing pretty good. It's kind of shocking to see how quickly the season went, but we're here, man, and it's been a pretty interesting one overall, man. I really wasn't expecting Detroit to be the team that would make it this far in the NFC, but I think if there's been one thing that we've kind of, I don't know if we necessarily talked about this much because we don't get into divisions and shit like that, but like I definitely thought the NFC was kind of wide open this year, and I'm glad that we got something different for once in one of these championship games.
Look, I'm all about Patrick Mahomes. I love Patrick Mahomes. I love the Chiefs. I want to see Lamar in the Super Bowl, man. I don't care who he goes against. I mean, ideally, honestly, like Lamar versus the 49ers would be sick, but I think the one thing that I would not like to see again, really, is, you know, Mahomes versus the Chiefs or versus the 49ers again. I mean, we may see it, and if it happens, it happens. But let's get some new teams in here, man. Let's do it, man. This is what six straight years in the AFC Championship for Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Come on, Lamar. Come on, Lamar. If you're on TikTok,
this is supposed to be a down year for Kansas City too, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm with you. Pat Mahomes, Andy Reid, they're gonna have another five, but he's on a 10-year deal, man. Like, they're gonna have plenty of opportunities to get a couple more. I think Lamar needs a Super Bowl, man, just so people will stop talking shit about him.
I know. If you're on TikTok, go search Lamar Jackson Black Hole Sun. You'll have some entertaining a couple videos there. All right, KC going into Baltimore here. Another road game for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. They proved they can do it. This is a little bit different of a defense though than the Bills at this point. Ravens, man, these guys are studs. Offensively, we know that Lamar carries them pretty much. We got maybe Mark Andrews coming back potentially. We'll talk about that in a little bit when we get to injuries. This is a 3.5 point spread in favor of the Ravens. It's 44.5 point total. We do have a little bit of a chance of rain. So keep that in mind. I mean, the weather has been dog shit across the board in a lot of these games, minus some of these dome games. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be as bad as, you know, we've seen, obviously. But keep in mind, as we're getting closer, keep your eye on that weather and the rain. What are your thoughts here, dude? Like, I really feel good about the Ravens winning this one. I'm trying not to let that cloud my judgment, just as kind of a fanboy over here of seeing Lamar in the Super Bowl. I mean, dude, it's how can we doubt Patrick Mahomes at this point? The defense is crushing. They got Pacheco going off still. But, dude, this Ravens defense is the real deal, man. First in points allowed this year. You know, third PFF rank with defense. You know, their run defense is maybe their weak point. But besides that, man, this team they're studs. So what are we thinking here, man?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Like, let me preface all of this. Patrick Mahomes is probably the greatest, like, quarterback we've ever seen, and he will end up being one of the greatest that we've ever seen, right? Tom Brady won a bunch, like, that's something. But, like, Pat Mahomes is Pat Mahomes. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's able to win. He has an excellent defense, I want to say all that, but I just think the Ravens are a more complete team at this point. They're peaking at the right time of the year. Their defense has just pretty much been lights out for the entire year, right? Nobody's necessarily been able to score a bunch of points against them. And that's really what it comes down to. They're the number one scoring defense in the NFL. And they're playing at home. Lamar Jackson's been unstoppable. I think, this is why I like the NFL, though, because, like, I think some of this narrative stuff does kind of matter, right? Lamar Jackson, that offense coming out, fired up, pissed off. Like, I don't know, man. He feels like he's got something to prove. And, other touts might call me stupid or whatever, but, like, I still think that shit matters. Like, this is football. Like, wake up, fired up. You can actually steal something from another team. And this would be a pretty big statement game for Lamar to win. But anyways, I digress. I do think Baltimore wins this game. But I wouldn't be surprised if Patrick Mahomes pulled another one out.
Baltimore, pass defense, first in rating, first in yards per attempt, held opponents to under 20 points in five straight games. They're solid against tight ends, second in rating, held receivers to a low rating, third in rating, and first in sacks, fourth in quarterback hits. Look, the Chiefs, they're no slouches either on defense. They've played really well. We can't discount that. We have the top three teams in points allowed this year are playing on Championship Sunday. That's got to mean something, man. Defense, baby. Chiefs defense holding tight ends to seventh lowest rating, and they're second in sacks. The other thing here is, look, when we talk about the Chiefs, or when we talk about the Ravens defense, we think about the two stud linebackers, great, obviously, just overall, but we think of Kyle Hamilton as well. And that doesn't really bode well for a guy like Travis Kelce, potentially. Hamilton said he'll be part of the plan in defending Travis Kelce, but says it'll be a team effort. So look, just because this is a tough matchup for Travis Kelce, I'm not discounting his ability to score a touchdown in this game and be useful for fantasy purposes. But it's a tough matchup, let's just be honest. We got McDuffie, Snead, potentially going against Flowers. McDuffie's kind of the guy in the slot, but also Snead shadows the number one typically. So who knows who's going to go against him. To me, we got Mark Andrews back potentially in this one. Before we get into it too much, thoughts on this Mark Andrews situation? If he comes back, are you interested in getting to him with the unknowns about, maybe he doesn't play that much. He hasn't played in like 10 weeks. He's been out for a while. Are they going to use him, sparingly with how well likely has been playing? Let's talk about that briefly. What are your thoughts on Andrews, man? He's the number one option on this team. Even with a guy like Flowers and some of these other pass catchers, it's still Mark Andrews is the stud pass catcher here. So we got to talk about him.
Yeah, I think they're going to kind of ease him back into the offense. Like, everything that I can see was like, what, he had a slight fracture in his bone in his severe ankle, or I don't know. So like there's reasons to be somewhat skeptical about his return, and the way that the offense has been clicking without him, I think they might kind of use him sparingly and just see how he kind of fits into the offense. That said, I also have no idea. So like, Thursday night, as we get closer to Sunday, like there's no competitive advantage for these teams to be letting on any of their injury news earlier than they absolutely have to.
Yeah,
this is the playoffs. This is when everything matters. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're playing this a little close to the hip. But if we find out that he's green, like, and even if he's 70%, like, I think you have to consider him. It's a two game slate, right? And he is going to be the primary target. I'd rather have to risk a little bit of money on Mark Andrews scoring a touchdown than, I don't know, fucking Juwan Jennings.
Yeah, Exactly. All right, let's move on to this night game. That was the first game. This is a Sunday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Lions going into Santa Clara against the 49ers. Should be good weather. We saw some weird weather last week in the Bay Area. Should be fine now. This is a 51-point total. 49ers are 7-point home favorites. That feels about right. When you look at momentum, it seems like maybe that is a little off because Detroit has come out and put up two very impressive wins. I know it was Tampa Bay, but Tampa Bay was pretty hot, and they won that game. And you're looking at the 49ers, who won that game against the Packers barely. I mean, realistically, they probably should have lost that game. Debo left that game, and we saw the impact of having no Debo and what it does to this team. It looks like, you know, it's 50-50 for Debo right now. I think that really makes a huge difference on what I think about the outcome of this game. One thing I know for sure, though, is this Detroit Lions pass defense sucks ass. And I think we can target that. I think everybody's going to want to target that because look at these defenses are all very, very solid. And you don't really want to, you know, you don't really want to say take a firm stand on really any of these skill guys because they can get shut down against these tough defenses. But against Detroit, against, you know, Sutton, you know, this defense is not looking too hot. They're what, 24th in points allowed this year. I think that's the clear weakness. Now, you know, their pass rush has looked a little bit better, and their run defense has looked good this year. We know that's one of their strengths, but even that has not been as good as we expected it to be, their run defense. So what are you thinking here, man? This feels like a Brock Purdy with, you know, CMC, especially if Debo's out, Ayuk, Kittle, massive stacks, run it back with a guy or two. This feels like this is the game to stack. But look, we're talking about a two-game slate here, man. Like, we're gonna have to stack both games, but this is going to be the chalk stack, realistically. So what are we doing here, man? What are your thoughts? Are you embracing Purdy stacks with his high ownership? He's got a good price, so it's very appealing. I think you're going to have to kind of mix things up a little bit, though, and I'm not super comfortable going, like, 80% Purdy or anything like that, right?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm actually super comfortable just going really heavy 49ers and just overstacking it. Like, I think you can even try, like, weird shit with naked Lamar and maybe a bunch of San Francisco from there. But look, man, I think the discourse around Brock Purdy and this 49ers team is kind of just a little dramatic, right? It's either Brock Purdy's MVP or he's, you know, Mr. Irrelevant. And like, that seems like a really broad range. Like, he struggled when when Debo was out, right? But at the same time, like, they were playing some pretty good teams, right? So anyways, man, I definitely think that the Niners, are their situation is a little bit overblown. Their struggles last week, they had a bye, they're coming off of you know, they're playing in the weather. We all know Brock Purdy struggles when it's raining out, and I know that's not necessarily excuse, but I just be careful of just over correcting too much based on what we saw last week. Despite that, we, you know, they still put up a pretty significant fantasy performance, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, man. And you know, 29th in coverage according to PFF, the Lions defense, fifth against, you know, fifth run defense. But dude, like, Aaron Jones has gone off on them. Like, they've allowed 4.7 yards or more to three running backs in these playoffs. And they haven't, you know, it's not like they're like selling out to stop the pass now, you know, like they're still giving up pass yards. This feels like a CMC situation. This feels like a Kittle, Ayuk. And if Debo plays, you know, I would be interested in some Debo, but like his shoulder, it was bad enough where he was walking around. It didn't look like he was in a lot of pain necessarily, but they weren't going to risk putting him back in the game, even though they could have lost that game without him. That's how bad the injury was. At the time, I was a little bit critical on it. Like, get your ass back in there. Obviously, it's a little bit more complicated than that. But if Debo plays, you know, Debo's a zone killer kind of guy. Throw the screen, take advantage of the zone, settle down in open areas. But this team runs a lot of man defense. They have lately. That just really opens up guys like Ayuk and Kittle. So even if Debo does play, I think it helps the team overall. I don't know how massive I'm going to go on Debo. I might be a little leery just simply because he is out there hurt. I don't want to get a zero out of a guy who gets hit in the first quarter and leaves. I'm not going to be afraid to play him, but I'm not going to be going massively over the field. Look at this 49ers coverage ranking, third, according to PFF. Pass rush, third. This team is legit on defense, and I really think the 49ers are going to win this game. I think the Cinderella season is probably over for the Lions, unless Goff can come out and just absolutely tear it up. I'm not discrediting that happening. I just don't think it's going to happen realistically. The 49ers will give up some yards to running backs. And guess what? Guess who's good at running the ball? This Lions team. It's something we got to think about. Gibbs and Montgomery versus Greenlaw Warner. That's an interesting matchup. Hutchinson versus McKivitz, who's given up, I think, 11 and a half sacks this season. That's an interesting matchup to keep an eye on. If getting pressure on Purdy and making him a little flustered can cause him to make some mistakes. We've seen it. Sutton versus Ayuk, potentially. You got St. Brown versus Charvarius Ward. Ward usually sticks to the left side. It is ASB, it's Sun God. I get it. But Ward's solid, man. We saw ASB have a quiet day up until that fourth quarter. So there's not a ton of absolute studs when it comes to wide receiver on this slate. ASB is probably going to be the highest owned. It's worth talking about how much we think he can have success. I think he's probably a necessary evil, though. All right, let's get to injuries here. Let's start with this game and talk about some stuff we need to talk about here.
Yeah, just pain. It was pain everywhere.
So the real, Bosa was resting. Debo, the shoulder injury, we know that. He was limited in practice on Thursday, which is today. We're recording this around Thursday, around 10 p.m. Check this out. This is footage from about 2 hours ago. Looks good. Moving fast, catching the ball, moving around. To me, that feels like a guy that could suit up and play for a conference championship, for an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. But we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. If Debo's out, right off the bat, you go, okay, well, who's getting the snaps instead of Debo? Who's going to get the increase back, from the backup role? Well, Juwan Jennings on paper is going to get that role. But there's other guys to talk about. But I think mainly what we got to talk about here, I don't really trust those guys. We've seen it all year. They don't have like a massive increase. It just mainly goes to CMC, Ayuk, and Kittle, right? So what are you thinking if Debo's out, where do we pivot? And I think we just focus on the studs still, even more so.
Yeah, I think your approach on two game slate was going to be a little bit different on a showdown, right? On this two gamer, I think you're dead on. Like, I think the offense is just going to be funneled more to CMC, Ayuk, and Kittle. There's no reason to rest your NFC Championship hopes on Juwan Jennings or Ray McLeod, even Chris Conley to that extent, right? We saw him get a little bit of run. I was shocked to see him out there, by the way. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
but right? Look, man, it is going to open up some opportunity. But on the two gamer, the min price wide receiver really doesn't get us all that much. On a showdown, a $200 wide receiver is definitely valuable. So I'm not sure we're going to really have the flexibility that we need, even if one of those guys is out. Like, Juwan Jennings isn't cheap enough to like really make it viable. So we can get into that more when we get to the wide receiver side, but I think you really just prioritize the core guys from San Francisco.
So Jonah Jackson, the guard, looks like he's probably going to be out. He got banged up in that last game. Frank Ragnow, the center, also could be out. They're both DMPs. I think that's a huge deal. Even if they're missing one of these guys, I think that affects things. This is the, on paper, according to PFF, this is the number one ranked offensive line in the league. So can those backups step up against this defense, against this pass rush? It's going to be tough, man. If both of those guys are out, I don't know, man. I think that makes a huge difference when we're looking at it at inactives. If you see Jonah Jackson and Frank Ragnow being out, I think that really, really affects that affects Detroit's offense so much that I think that they, as soon as I see that, I might just go massive blowout stacks potentially. I know that sounds a little, like I'm over exaggerating, but having two of your best offensive linemen out is a huge deal this late in the season. Khalif Raymond, knee injury, is a DMP. He's been out for a while. We've seen Josh Reynolds and, we've seen Jameson Williams step up to a certain extent. If Khalif Raymond comes back, it kind of muddies the waters a little bit. We'll talk about that a little bit more when we get into wide receivers. Let's go to this other game. Let me zoom out here. Here we go. So Sky Moore, still on IR. He's a DNP. I hope he doesn't play. Kadarius Toney, he might play. Who knows, man? I don't want these guys to play because it's already dog shit options to begin with. I'm hoping those guys don't play. We'll see, I guess. Joe Thuney is a DNP with the guard with a pec injury. That's kind of a big deal as well. And, of course, let's talk about Mark Andrews. You got also Marlon Humphrey, limited in practice. We could get him back, which would be big. Rocky Sin is a DNP on Thursday. Keep an eye on that. Mark Andrews, if he's back, we got to be interested in him, man. I know Likely has looked good, but I think we got to play a little bit of him. And if you're looking at the thumbnail of this video, we got a lot of tight ends on this slate. This seems like a double tight end type build, even though some of these tight ends don't have the best matchup. I don't really give a shit. I just don't. When you got guys like Kittle and Kelsey and Andrews and Likely and Laporta, I just don't care. All right, let's get into this breakdown here. We're going to go position by position. We're going to jump into Saber Sim. Let's do it. Break it down. So, Lamar Jackson is the highest priced quarterback on the slate. Not a huge surprise there. He's 7,700. Last week, he didn't need anybody else but himself, basically. I know he threw two touchdowns? But all his pass catchers, I stacked the shit out of him last week. And I had some naked or I had some, one stacks with him. It let me down quite a bit because he had an incredible game. But I had a bunch of duds. You know, Flowers did okay. But I had, Odell. I had Bateman. I had, some of these other guys. And I wasn't super excited to see all those three or four point outputs. Does that happen again? Maybe. Who knows? It's a tough pass defense. But I think we can, we can be kind of sure that Lamar Jackson's going to get his on the ground, especially seeing Josh Allen tear him up last week. Patrick Mahomes is 6,900, Brock Purdy 64, Jared Goff 63. It seems like Brock Purdy right now is going to be the highest projected owned, which makes sense because he's 6,400. And you could, that salary savings is going to be huge when it comes to getting a lot of these studs in. Remember, this is a Christian McCaffrey slate, and he's really damn expensive. So we're going to have to find some salary savings. But a guy like Lamar at 7,700, to me, I think it'll be Purdy, Lamar, Mahomes, and then probably Jared Goff for me in that order. But I don't hate getting to some Jared Goff stacks. I really don't. Thoughts on your ownership here? Who do you think is probably under-owned? And what are we doing here when it comes to your exposures?
I don't know if he's necessarily under-owned, but I do think Patrick Mahomes is still a little bit low-owned. We do know he's got the ability to get there. This is a tough matchup. But again, it's only a four-game slate. That said, he's pretty close to 25%, which is one-fourth of the ownership. That said, yeah, I think I'm moderately interested in Jared Goff stacks. I'm not necessarily sure this is the best, matchup for him, but no shock there. But again, we're on a two-game slate, so I don't think you can really get too fancy. I think if you're going to use those guys, maybe you want to – even Lamar, outside of Brock Purdy, maybe you stack a little, relatively safe. Like we've talked about overstacking certain slates on short slates to try and get different that way. Maybe you only do Lamar in one pass catcher or Patrick Mahomes in one pass catcher, or even just consider the naked quarterback. Well, maybe not with Goff, but you understand what I'm saying. I think there's different ways you can get different by playing some of these guys. Outside of that, man, if you're playing Brock Purdy, you need to find another way to get different, overstack the shit out of that game, get as many Niners as you can. I don't know.
It seems like, it seems like everybody's going to play a shitload of Niners, especially with Debo out. What Saber Sim is showing me now, based off of the big contest, the million to first, it seems like quarterback plus three or quarterback plus two with two run backs, and then a little mini correlation of 2v1 in the other game is kind of what I'm seeing as the highest leveraged sort of stack right now that I'm getting the most of based on the contest sims. So something to think about, maybe when we're building, we'll kind of keep that in mind so we're not just randomly throwing stuff in. Maybe we'll kind of have we'll be a little bit smarter when we're hand building just so we kind of keep to the right structure. But I think you got to get to all these guys. Brock Purdy will be my highest owned. I think it followed by Lamar Jackson, and I won't go super massively heavy on Lamar Jackson passing stacks, but I'll get to some, you know, Aguilar, you know, like I'll try to get a little different, you know, maybe, you know, likely Flowers, you know, Flowers, Aguilar, Bateman, even Andrews, even, but I don't know that I'm getting to three along with him. Maybe even messing with the run game too. Maybe Lamar and Justice Hill or something could be an interesting way to stack this game. Let's go to running back. Sorting by salary here. Christian McCaffrey is 9K. Amon-Ra is 7,900. That's where we're at here. CMC, you're probably going to expect him to get at least a touchdown. This is a guy that gets you probably 20 fantasy points even on a bad day. And look, hey, guess what? Detroit's run defense is pretty tough. But, dude, last week James Cook was getting like 6 yards a carry. He didn't run the ball a lot. Rashad White, my bad. Even Chase Edmonds was getting opportunity. This team just doesn't seem like they're like massively like, I'm not going to play Christian McCaffrey because they have a good run defense. That's not popping in my head. He's going to be 65-70% owned. Before we get on to anybody else, is there any reason to not just go massive, just plug Christian McCaffrey in every lineup?
So if you're absolutely limited on a budget and you need the most optimal way to, or the easiest way to get immediate leverage on the entire slate, then, you know, maybe you're entering a couple into the Millie Maker or whatever without Christian McCaffrey. Outside of that, man, play as much Christian McCaffrey as you can. Even then, if you're still entering a bullet, I still might fucking play Christian McCaffrey.
So Pacheco, 6,500. I mean, look at that big drop off there. Jahmyr Gibbs, 6,400. Dave Montgomery, 56. So Jahmyr Gibbs isn't getting as many goal line opportunities as Montgomery was or is. Well, shit, even Craig Reynolds accidentally got a got a goal line carry over Gibbs. But he's still getting there. He's getting into the end zone basically above what he should be at this point. Jahmyr Gibbs at 6,400, everybody's going to go to him. I still think you got to get potentially David Montgomery involved here. Gus Edwards, 5,500. Justice Hill, 4,800. Besides that, I mean, yeah, you got CEH at 4,500. Like, okay, maybe as a punt. This is a two-game slate, so we're going to have to do some of this weird shit. But, you know, guys like Elijah Mitchell, Christian McCaffrey got 98% of the snaps last week, I believe. They're going to use and abuse this guy. He's not coming off the field unless he's absolutely unable to walk. So these running backs are kind of interesting. There's probably, you know, we're going to get Christian McCaffrey in most of our lineups, so we're going to have to make a decision on one other guy. We have potential better lineups with two tight ends, potentially. And I think guys like Gus Edwards and Justice Hill might be a little under the field, unfortunately, on him, but I'm going to try to boost them up as much as I can to get them. Who do you prefer here? Jahmyr Gibbs, Montgomery, are you interested in any double handcuff builds on a two-gamer? And if you had to pick between Edwards and Justice Hill, seems like Justice Hill's trending up a bit.
Yeah, man, it looks like Justice Hill's getting a lot of work in third down role, or at least passing down situations. I'm sorry, not necessarily third down. But look, that's what we're looking for in DFS. And at 4,800, that's a solid value play. To your point, I don't think I'm going anything lower than him just because it's not necessary. I think I'm leaning Justice Hill over Gus Edwards, but even then, like the 10% ownership discount on Gus Edwards, he could easily fall into the end zone twice. Look, man, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery handcuffs, probably not necessary, but if you really want to think about it, if Detroit is going to win that game, it's going to be because those two kept the ball out of the San Francisco offense's hands, right? So like they could easily combine for fucking four total touchdowns and do some annoying bullshit. That said, I'm not going to be doing that, but I think it's Christian McCaffrey plus one of the, you know, next five guys from Pacheco to Hill. Outside of that, not getting too crazy. And even then, right, like I might end up with a decent amount of Hill just because I don't know how much value that I'm necessarily comfortable with on this slate so far.
Yeah, it feels like just pay up for CMC, grab, you know, Pacheco, Gibbs, Montgomery, maybe a little bit of one of these Ravens running backs, especially if you're doing Lamar stacks. I think I like pairing one of these running backs with Lamar as well. And then, you know, just call it a day after that. I don't think there's a whole lot to overthink here. Wide receivers, Amon-Ra, 7,900. Debo, questionable, 7,300. Ayuk, 69. Rashee Rice, 65. So look, Rashee, you know, he's quietly crushing. I mean, he's looking good. Like, this is a guy, you know, I know the last week he didn't really get there. It feels like you probably want to have like one of these guys from the Chiefs in your lineups, either Rashee or Kelsey. But there's not a million dudes jumping off the page. I think it's going to be very stack heavy when it comes to one-offs. Obviously, Ayuk, Amon-Ra St. Brown are probably the ways to go. And if Debo plays, maybe a little Debo as well, as well as Rashee Rice. But when it comes to one-offs, like, I'm not super excited to be jamming in Odell Beckham without his quarterback. You know, same with Josh Reynolds. I know Josh Reynolds is 4K. He had a touchdown last week, but I think he was, 37 last week. I got to a shitload of him. So he's still in a favorable position. Obviously, if Khalif Raymond comes back, that might eat into it a little bit. But what are we doing wide receiver-wise? Obviously, we're going to want to stick, you know, we're going to want to get involved with our stacks. So, you know, you got Lamar. You're probably going to get to Zay Flowers, maybe a little Nelson Aguilar, Rashad Bateman, and then run it back with one or two of these guys. What are we thinking here? Amon-Ra, tough matchup, dude, but it's still Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, these elite wide receivers are just damn near matchup proof. I mean, we can actually remember the one or two weeks where he's underperformed, and that's because he underperformed only one or two weeks, right? So I think that's the just anecdotally notable, just off the top of my head. Obviously, I don't disregard Debo Samuel. I know he's grayed out, but that's just because we're still questionable on his status. He didn't play last week. If he plays, I'm going to have a shitload of him. Outside of that, man, like, look, you really just, it's going to be hard to not target some pieces from the San Francisco offense. They're in such a good spot. I want Ayuk, or Kittle or Debo if he's healthy. And then, I think that really one of the next big decisions is like what we're doing with Kansas City. I really like Rashee Rice, and I know that he's been trending upwards a lot in, just his overall target share. Like, he's by far second on the team in targets. It's Travis Kelce with 133, and Rashee caught up pretty quickly towards the end of the season there. He has finished 114, right? So, like, it's pretty significant considering how infrequently they were using these guys early on in the season. So I think what we saw last week is that Patrick Mahomes is just going to rely on what's worked his entire playoff career, and that's to feed Travis Kelce. So I think you can kind of consider maybe potentially coming in a little under the field on Rashee Rice and maybe getting a little more exposure to some of these other guys in there. I know I rambled a little bit on that, but that's really kind of my plan there. And then beyond that, I think you really just got to take, to your point, take these other guys with their quarterback stacks and not running naked Juwan Jennings. If, you know, Debo Samuel's out, then I'm going to do Purdy Juwan Jennings. Probably not going to have him by himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, Juwan Jennings is 4,600. I mean, yes, I get the matchup, but it's still Juwan Jennings. I know he had a couple big catches last week. He's kind of very touchdown dependent or big play dependent. And to me, I'd rather just go down to Josh Reynolds or punt completely and just go down to like Bateman or, what you know, MVS or any of these randos down here. When it comes to Ray McLeod at 3,200, if Debo's out, I mean, nobody replaces Debo well, but you know, a guy like Ray McLeod who can go in motion kind of like Debo, get those in around, get those screens. I feel like people are going to sleep on Ray McLeod a little bit. He's 3,200. Not saying that Ray McLeod is a better play just in a vacuum over Juwan Jennings, but that price difference, we're going to need that damn price difference on the slate, man. So I don't mind getting to a little bit of Ray McLeod and LF, what do we call it? Large field or let's fucking go GPP. I don't mind it. Even Ronnie Bell at 3,100 is probably not going to get involved. He's not getting projected for anything right now. But when it comes to value down here, dude, there's all these bullshit Chiefs wide receivers. Sky Moore, if he's active, I hope he's not. MVS, he had his best game of the year last week. What did he have, like 8 fantasy points or 9 fantasy points? That was his spike week. He's 3,400. Justin Watson is one of these touchdown dependent big play guys. Kadarius Toney, if he's active, if Patrick Mahomes is even willing to throw him the ball. But look, they need one of these speed guys. We saw Mecole Hardman fumble twice. We saw that they tried to get him involved despite him being a liability. If one of these dudes like Kadarius Toney or Sky Moore is active, you probably see a little bit more of him. Rashad Bateman to me feels like he's kind of trending as the number two guy here, pass catcher wise or wide receiver wise for Baltimore. Odell trending way down. He's just not getting involved, dude. I saw a stat. He made 15 million this year. He's making like a couple hundred K per catch. But you can't forget about Odell. He's a big play guy. It's the playoffs. One catch and changes the entire slate. Anybody else to talk about here? Wide receiver wise, like Richie James at 3K. Like, this is a 2-game slate, dude. Like, we're going to have to like dabble in playing with some of these guys that we're really not comfortable playing with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, if Tony's out and like we start seeing some of these injuries, then I'm very comfortable getting into the depths of the bench here. But I mean, at this point, right, like I think we're just seeing just immediate discrepancies. What did you have? Justin Watson is immediate. He's getting initially projected for 20%. And Ray McLeod is 3%. Like, I think to your point, right, Ray easily could end up with 0 points, but he's free. You get a $3,200 play. If Debo's out, right, let's preface this point with Debo being out, he's essentially going to be free. Maybe he'll be 5 to 10% owned, but he's not that much worse of a play than Justin Watson, other than the fact that Watson could potentially be like, you know, the number two or number three receiver. So like, yeah, that's kind of my point here. I think you just got to be spread out. 20%, don't go heavy on any one of these guys, but if you're doing MME, man, feel free to sprinkle in some of these guys. We're at elite quarterback play at this point, and Jared Goff.
All right, let's go to tight end. Travis Kelce, 6,600. Sam Laporta, 54. George Kittle, 53. Mandrews, possibly back. It looks like he will be back. 5K. Isaiah Likely, 4,300. Even a guy like Zach Ertz at 2,800 is kind of interesting with Brock Wright being out for Detroit. You know, I'm not saying jam in 20% Zach Ertz in his first game in how many weeks. Who knows what's going to happen, but they need him. He played it right, dude. He waited as long as he possibly could, and he jumped into the conference championship game. Good for him. But you know, it's probably just going to be a Laporta situation. I know that this team runs a lot of two tight ends. Laporta's out in the slot and Brock Wright's in line. Maybe we see a couple plays with Zach Ertz. I'm not super interested, but like, I'd rather play Zach Ertz over like Noah Gray or Blake Bell. I know that sounds crazy because it is Patrick Mahomes throwing him the ball, but excuse me, man. I'm sorry. I'm so good and over being sick. But I feel like Zach Ertz, they need him, and Noah Gray, Blake Bell. These are just kind of guys that you could toss in, but look at this dude, 23% ownership for Noah Gray. That's not accurate. That's SaberSim saying, holy shit, I want a lot of Brock Purdy stacks. And I want a lot of expensive CMC. And we need some value. That's why he's getting projected for that. But that's not really what's going to happen. So look, this feels like a two tight end slate to me. Kelce, Kittle, Laporta, Kittle. Maybe a little Mandrews action along with your stacks with Lamar. What are we doing tight end wise, man?
Yeah, man. I mean, if we're really... these are the prices that we're going to have to deal with. And this gives us a little bit more flexibility, run both these guys. I don't think that you're going to have, and by both these guys, I mean, two tight ends. I mean, somebody in the flex, you could run pretty much any variation of the top three. And then just kind of the low ownership on the Baltimore tight ends is fairly interesting. Again, like if Likely is truly going to end up being 2 to 3% owned, there are still enough question marks there that I think he should probably be closer to 10%, right? Like, I know he's struggled, hasn't necessarily been there. We've seen flashes of brilliance a year ago, right? Last season from him when Mandrews was out. But, like, I still do think that he can get involved pretty significantly in a game like this. But anyways, I think all of this just kind of just affirms your point, right? Playing the double tight end lineups. A lot of these guys are going to be more confident in hitting their ceiling games or have the ability to hit their ceiling games than a $4,600 Juwan Jennings, for example. So that's kind of the way that I'll approach that. Like, if I'm looking at a bunch of dudes in their price range, I'm for sure taking Sam Laporta over Gus Edwards, for example. You know what I mean?
That's just what I'm saying is these guys like Sam Laporta are priced so low. And look at George Kittle, 5,300. I mean, come on. Like, we need this value. We need this mid-range value. And I feel pretty confident, especially if Debo's out. Like, I will have so much damn George Kittle, and I'll have so much damn Ayuk. It's going to be insane. And I'll play them together without the quarterback even, because they're just in a damn good spot. And even with Debo, I'm still going to play George Kittle at 5,300. So that makes me really, like, want to play double tight ends. And I think a lot of the field is going to do that. So if you want to get different by doing that, if you're going to go chalky stacks, maybe you want to get three running backs. Who knows? But it just feels like on paper, that's probably the way to go. Defense, 49ers, 3,300, Ravens, 32, Chiefs, 29, and then you got the Lions defense at 2,600. Now, initial runs on SaberSim, I've got way too much Lions. Like, I'm not going to play that much Lions defense, but because they're so damn cheap, and their median projection, which doesn't mean a whole lot, I get it, is kind of close to the Chiefs here. Look, it feels like any one of these defenses can go off, you know, minus maybe the Lions. But still, we could see some turnovers from the Lions as well. We could see a pick six from the Lions. We could see a scoop and score from the Lions. We've seen Purdy have trouble with turnovers. So where do we go with defenses here? This feels like probably a spread out situation, but probably seems like we want to target Baltimore as like the chalk defense potentially. But look, that's still going up against Patrick Mahomes. It's still not very comfortable. So where are you going, dude?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still targeting that first game. I mean, obviously, you got two pretty solid defenses, and those teams have been carried pretty significantly, despite having two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, right? They've been helped very significantly by their defenses. That said, like, one thing I'll be paying really important injury information you brought up at the beginning, right? If all of a sudden the Detroit Lions are missing their starting center, like specifically their center, like, I might just stack the shit out of it or just overload the 49ers defense. Like, that's not good for Jared Goff at all. That's how you end up with the fucking turnovers, man. Like, those are scooping scores. Those are pick sixes because you're getting destroyed in the pocket. So,
yeah.
Again, hop in the Discord. That's some shit we'll keep you guys up to date on up to an hour before lock. Whenever that information goes out, we'll post it in there. And obviously, we'll share our strategy changes, if there are any, when we get that news before the game starts.
All right, Ellie, let's look at value here. I know we've talked about it, but if people are jumping around a little bit, to me, without Debo out, you know, we're seeing a massive projection for guys like George Kittle. Basically, all the 49ers here and Lamar Jackson here. Mostly, you know, when I crunch, you know, 5,000 lineups out for big tournaments and I contest sim the big tournament, you're just getting to a massive shitload of that night game, the NFC game. When it comes to value here, obviously, even guys like Christian McCaffrey at 9K are still pricing out well. But when we say value, we're looking for cheap guys, right? So who jumps out to you? It feels like guys like Josh Reynolds are still in play. Even a guy like Jameson Williams, who's busted quite a bit lately, but still on the field a lot and still has home run upside. Who jumps out to you value-wise, man?
I mean, look, I got to say Jameson Williams, the one time we don't play him is going to be the one time he has a long touchdown. So I'm going to keep having a little bit of exposure to him. That said, I don't know if 40% is necessarily justifiable. I still think you should probably be closer to 10 to 15% yeah, on a lot of these guys, man.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, look, Rashad Bateman is still cheap, right? You got Lamar Jackson throwing him the ball. He just needs to get on the same page. So Like, I still think you got to consider some of these guys that are permanently just stuck in this 3,600, 3,700, 3,800 price range. What's Nelson Aguilar? He's still 3,800.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm not getting crazy with him. I don't think that he's going to keep scoring touchdowns. But at the same time, like, I don't think anybody else is. Nobody else thinks he's going to do that either. Right. And it really doesn't matter that he scored touchdowns previously. He's still viable and in play. But look, these guys are fine. 3,800. I think it's still better than overcommitting to 4,600 Juwan Jennings.
Yeah, a guy like $3,700 Reynolds last week. I had like 90% of him going up against that defense. Mm-hmm. It was a good matchup. He ended up kind of getting there. I mean, for the most part, he got a touchdown. Yeah, like 10, 11 fantasy points. There's no one on this slate right now with the injury news we have that really jumps out to me as somebody I'm getting to massive amounts of as far as over the field for cheap guys. Let's go to our lineup builds, dude. Let's start building a couple lineups together. I should do this first, too. So let's build our single entry. It feels like to me the route to go is going to be Brock Purdy. I mean, everybody in the brothers sees this 30th opponent rank. And, you know, it makes sense. Like, he's probably going to have an opportunity to sling the ball quite a bit and be pretty efficient. So let's plug him in. Let's plug in CMC. This is a hand-built single entry, maybe the $100 single entry that we're building for. Not necessarily like a $5 kind of single entry with a shitload of people in it. That's more of a GPP-type build. All right, so Purdy, McCaffrey, let's say Debo's out. I mean, is this a situation where we're getting to Kittle and Ayuk, or is this going to be one or the other?
For cash, I think we just sit with Kittle.
All right.
Maybe we get to Ayuk if we can afford it.
Who's the other running back you want to go with? This is a Pacheco situation, I think, right?
Yeah, that works.
All right. So I don't think, like, based off of me hand building quite a bit here before the show, it doesn't seem like we can get to Amon-Ra St. Brown in a build like this, but let's try it and let's just see what we're working with. So we got, 3,700 apiece with the defense. You want to jam in a defense first here? You want to go probably. Chiefs? 2,900 Chiefs or 3,200 Ravens? Probably the Ravens for a single entry. Yeah, I mean, you could flip a coin probably.
Start with the Ravens. If we need the $300, we'll go down to the Chiefs.
All right. So now we've got two wide receiver spots and a flex. So let's do this. Let me actually put Kittle in the flex straight off the bat since he's that night game. And then we got another tight end spot to grab. So Laporta here? Laporta?
Yes.
I mean, if we could afford Kelsey, like maybe, but let's go Laporta here. And now we've got 3,100 apiece. So this is not a very comfortable place to be. If you wanted to go chalk and yeah, but look, like what's his bucket? Juwan Jennings is 4,600. And I don't really like him that much anyways for a cash build. So this to me is kind of, I don't know if this is the way I'm going. Maybe I don't need to go two tight ends for cash. I don't know. But Amon-Ra St. Brown, let's pull him for this. Let's pull him. Let's go down to maybe Rashi Rice here.
Yeah, that works.
Now, I'm not super comfortable not getting to any Baltimore at all right now. You know, I think they're going to win the game. I think, so that's probably mostly falls on Lamar and his legs, but he can pass the ball too. So maybe we get to, can we get to Zay Flowers or something? Is this a Aguilar situation? Remember, this is a two gamer, so we're going to have to get a little uncomfortable. I think that's okay still. Well, what do we do?
Yeah, maybe Aguilar. And then I think just given what pieces that we have from Kansas City, maybe we do go to the Chiefs defense here and we just use that extra 300 and see what it gives us.
Gets us to Josh Reynolds. I'm okay with that. Yeah, I mean, I don't love this. I really don't. Let's go one tight end and see what happens here. Let's go Kittle and in the flex. Let's see what that does for us. Montgomery. So there's a situation, Laporte is still right there, but Montgomery, Edwards. You know, I don't hate a Montgomery situation, but I'd probably rather just stick with Laporta here. I don't feel super comfortable. I really don't. Let's look at SaberSim. Let's look at kind of some of the stuff they're spitting out for single entries here. Just get us on the same page. This is for the 250K spy. So top here, let me zoom out a little bit here. So top lineup right now, Purdy, Gus Edwards, McCaffrey, Zay Flowers, Reynolds, Williams. Look at all these 49ers. Kittle, Ayuk, 49ers. And it's interesting. We've realized with these single entries, SaberSim loves to treat these as just straight up GPP builds and go heavy stacking, which is fine. I've had good success with what SaberSim spits out for single entries. You got something similar here. I mean, it's liking Gus Edwards. I don't know that I would go that route, but look, you got Gus Edwards in almost all these. Purdy, Pacheco, Montgomery, Rice, Ayuk, Reynolds, Mandrews, Kittle, and then look, you see in some Lions defense just simply because they got to fit him in. Although there's 4,800 left. That's kind of strange to leave that much money on the table and not go to like the 49ers or Ravens defense. It's kind of interesting. All right, let's start building some GPP lineups here. This is where the fun happens. So let's go Mark Andrews, right? You want to go with like Andrews and like Justice Hill and like one pass catcher?
Yeah, I actually do like Justice Hill a lot. Throw in McCaffrey too while we're doing this though.
Yep. Who do we want pass catcher wise? You want to just go to Zay Flowers right off the bat?
Yeah.
All right, so we got a decent amount of salary left. So we got a quarterback plus two with one run back. Do you want to get to Kittle or Ayuk here?
Let's do Ayuk and then let's do Kelsey and let's just see where we're at.
Yeah, sorry, we don't have a run back. My bad, I mixed that up. Let's get a run back here with Kelsey. Let's get to Kittle in the flex. Throw him in your flex spot. Get to Ayuk. No, I can't do that.
We absolutely can't.
So this is going to be maybe we got to do three stack with Lamar here and get Bateman or, you know, Aguilar or one of these dudes. Or even, well, we can't get Lightning, but Rashad Bateman. Let's get our defense first. Do you want to go San Francisco here?
Yeah.
3,900 for the last wide receiver spot. You got Jameson Williams. You got all these dog shit KC guys all in the same spot. Look at this. There's four dudes, right? All clustered together in the basement. McLeod, you know, any of these guys. What if we went, yeah, Aguilar's 3,800. You know, use your best judgment here. But we got Lamar Jackson, Justice Hill, McCaffrey, Flowers, Bateman, Kelsey, Kittle, 49ers, and then we have an open spot here. What do you want to do next? You want to build one more?
Yeah, let's do a Jared Goff GPP build.
All right. Do you want to pair him with a running back?
Yeah, let's do Gibbs, and then, man, let's try and build with St. Brown if we can. It's really tough getting to him.
It is. It really is. We're going to have to, like, go out of our way to get to him because I don't – like, his ownership will be there, but I don't know that it'll be where it should be. Goff, Gibbs, Amon-Ra. Let's get two – we can get one more guy, too. We probably want to. You want to get to Laporta?
Yeah, let's do Laporta. And then, I mean, like, is there a value we like? Are we still comfortable with Reynolds? Is he cheap enough?
Yeah.
Assuming Khalif Raymond doesn't play.
That's fine. I mean, let's talk about this. We've got a quarterback plus three here. Is that too much for you know, going up against San Francisco?
Yeah, I think we might be fine. Let's get a run back from San Fran first.
All right, so let's just go Ayuk here. Let's go Ayuk and CMC. Right, so we stacked the absolute shit out of this game. Nice. Let's get a defense from the other game, potentially. We don't have to, but it's easy. So what do you think, Chiefs or Ravens here?
Let's go Chiefs. I don't know if we're actually going to be able to make this work.
No, we're not. No. So instead of Laporta, we're going to have to go to one of these dudes like Jameson Williams. You know what I mean? Or, you know, Khalif Raymond, if he's active, you know, any of these guys. So now let's go to Chiefs defense. See, hand build is not fun for this one. I will say that. I'm gonna use the shit out of Saber Sim on this slate. Absolutely. 6,900. Likely. You know what I mean? Like, what do we do here?
I think you got to go from Gibbs down to Montgomery, and then just use whatever flexibility that gives us. Which kind of sucks because I think Gibbs is the way to attack.
Yeah,
San Francisco.
We might have to go. I mean, so we still need somebody from this other game here. So this is probably like a. I know we said we wouldn't do this probably, but this, you know, this is like a one off with like Aguilar or Bateman or. I mean, we can't quite get to Zay Flowers, I don't think. No.
All right. Call me crazy. Put Gibbs back in and then pull St. Brown out, I guess. And let's go with Laporta as our primary pass catcher for Goff.
All right. Two wide receivers left at around 3,700 piece. So we're going to be in this Aguilar, Jameson Williams, Bateman, or shitty Chiefs guy. You want to get to one of these shitty Chiefs guys?
Same thing. Yeah, throw in MBS and then what? What does that give us?
Aguilar.
Yeah, same shit.
So it seems like to me, you know, what I learned is it's hard to get to ASB. So if we could find ways to get to ASB comfortably, I'm going to try to. It's a tough matchup, don't get me wrong. I think we obviously want to. We obviously are going to want to attack the 49ers offense going up against that Detroit defense and their secondary. So I think one thing we should do a better job of when we're actually building is if we need one-offs, just automatically default to the 49ers pass catchers. I think that's probably the way to go. And don't lose track of this first game. There's going to be some points put up there, man. We got two massively badass quarterbacks in that first game. And yes, their defenses are probably going to carry these games. But I think we can't forget about the skill players from that first game. What'd you learn, dude?
Yeah, similar, man. Like, it was tough building. But, you know, one thing that I think you called out here pretty well is just keep in mind last week, right? The Bills defense is one of the top ranked, and we know Kansas City is one of the top ranked. Both offenses were efficient and put up a shitload of points and hit the over. So we can respect the Ravens defense, we can respect the Chiefs defense, but still acknowledge we have two elite quarterbacks who, if they don't turn the ball over, are going to score some points. So if you can get some discounted ownership on those two games, I think you got to take advantage of that.
I think what I'd like to do is stack the shit out of the first game and then fill in pieces from that second game with all the with the studs and some value. I don't know if that's the smartest route to take yet. Because it feels like to me, like, you know, if I'm betting on anything, I'm betting on one of these 49ers skill players to go off. And, you know, if Purdy's putting up points and the 49ers are putting up points, guess what? Detroit's going to be getting the ball back. They're going to be having opportunities to get more plays. It's going to, you know, we're going to want to utilize getting run backs on that as well. Even if it's a 2v2 or even a 3v1 kind of situation. Ellie, Chiefs versus Ravens. You're picking Ravens. Who are you taking on this 49ers-Lions game?
49ers.
Who's your dirtbag of the day? Low-owned guy that you think can score.
I'm going to go with Mark Andrews, man.
Yep.
The Ravens tight ends.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm going to take Justice Hill. I think he's going to be relatively low-owned. Either Justice Hill or a guy like... Gus Edwards, I think, gets in the end zone. Both of those guys, I think, will be relatively low-owned. We appreciate you guys. We're going to do a showdown slate shows for each of these games. Expect that over the next day or two. One of these games will be public. The other one will be for the YouTube members. If you guys want to join that, YouTube members, help support the channel. Click join down below. Once we get into the off season, we're going to transition into UFL and spring football. We'll have a ton of content for everybody as well as for members. We appreciate you guys. Throw us a like on the way out. Get us to 100 likes on this video. See you guys later.